Welcome back. You're listening to No One's Legal Radio, a show about the frontline struggles for justice, dignity, and self-determination by migrants, refugees, and indigenous peoples. We're part of Off the Hour at CKUT 90.3 FM. We're a grassroots community radio on the island of Montreal. We continue with our special show on Fortress Europe, focusing on Germany. We heard previously about the case of Uri Jallo, an African migrant who burned to death in a police cell in 2005. Uri's case is a microcosm of much of the racism and brutality towards migrants in Germany. As Mukhtar Ba, the last interview we just heard, put it at the end of his interview, Tout mon souhait, c'est qu'on arrête de tuer les Noirs en Allemagne, particulièrement les Africains. What we hope for is that we stop killing blacks in Germany, particularly Africans.
Uri Jallo's death was not random, but part of a larger European project of building Fortress Europe to keep migrants out of the European Union in general. For a broader context, we have two more interviews. Next up is an interview I did earlier in the week with Matthias, an interview of Jeep Fel Soli, an anti-G8 organizing group in Berlin. He addresses many issues in this interview, including EU-wide border police and anti-migrant policies, and the technology of migration prevention. We'll go to that interview now, which begins with Matthias addressing my question about European border security and EU-wide so-called border management through Frontex. Matthias, the focus of this show is on Fortress Europe. Frontex can be seen as a consolidation of European Union-wide border control under the rubric of security, loosening the borders of European nation-states but making it increasingly difficult to penetrate the borders of the European Union. Can you give a background for a North American listener on the formation of Frontex?
Yes, of course. Like Frontex, in the beginning it was more, it played more or less a coordination role in the sense of creating a European-wide border police, which has the aim of having a common profile of a European border guard. And when I say in the beginning it was more or less coordination, it was like when there were many migrants coming to whatever coast, in maybe Italy or Spain or Greece, they sent their experts to help to coordinate, the fight against migration. What Frontex was doing from its beginning were the so-called risk analysis. That means, like, they try to make research, analysis, and stuff like that. So to foresee where are migrants coming from, where are, for example, civil wars, whatever conditions people are fleeing, and then they give an alert on, for example, the coast in Spain, saying like, okay, there will be many migrants coming from this or that country, they will choose this or that way to get to Europe, and they will probably enter the Spanish coast at this or that date, for example. And so that the Spanish border police sent their boats or sent their ships, and also Frontex was with them in coordinating the deployment. And what they... So then this was like starting in 2005, and then they started more and more like demanding more stuff. They also want to have own techniques. They want to have... For example, in future, they want to have own airplanes for facilitating, like, deportation flights, for example, to have them more cheap. When I say they want to have more techniques, that means, like, also access to satellite data. They make lots of research in using, like, drones. Drones are the unmanned air vehicles. I'm not talking about the Predator drones that are always killing people in Afghanistan or Iraq. I'm talking about mostly the smaller ones that are used by the police. So both of them, the military ones and the smaller ones, they should be used in future to survey the so-called green borders, for example. And before I mentioned, like, the satellite data, so Frontex wants to have access to satellite data. This is also very important for intelligence, so that the pictures of satellites, the resolution is much better now than it was in the past. And they scan, like, for example, many regions where migrants might appear, like, for example, the sea. and they use software to automatically like compare these pictures and automatically detect changes. For example, like small, slowly going fisher boats that probably might be used by migrants. So this is just a very brief overview on what Frontex is doing. They are also involved in other things. They were involved with the German border police, for example.
Matthias, since you're also active with anti-G8 organizing in Europe, do you see a connection between the neocolonialism perpetrated by G8 countries and this increase on border control?
I would say yes, of course. There is a lot of connection. You see this in many G8 countries, but of course not only in G8 countries. You also see it, for example, in Israel, that they are tightening the borders, that they are deporting migrants that were searching for asylum, or like there is nothing similar like asylum existing in Israel. But so many countries are deporting and tightening the borders. And I would say the new thing is that it's quite much coordinated. So also coordinated with North America, like with the USA and with Canada. So, for example, maybe you noticed there is a treaty about the so-called PNR data, like the passenger name record. So, for example, that before each flight to the USA, there will be automatically all the data of the passengers delivered to the border police in the USA, for example. And that means not only your name and date of birth, yet that means where did you buy your ticket, for example. How much money do you spend? Are you vegetarian? So are you traveling alone? And there is lots of exchange going on between the police authorities, but also Secret Service. And in future, it is planned to create something like a Western Europe and North American security area. It's not really sure yet what the name is, but European Ministers of Interior talk a lot about that. That I would compare a little bit like the NATO for home affairs, like to work closer together, to share all the information, to collaborate. And so in that sense, I would see a connection to the G8 and the neocolonialism, as you mentioned it, but also, of course, with a crisis. So I think that the migrants that are not needed, so everything that costs money should be banned, should be put out of the country, which is absurd because, on the other hand, everybody knows that migrants, especially illegally entered migrants, so that has no paper and can easily be kicked out, are really needed for the labor markets to put pressure on those who have papers, so to pay lower wages. For example.
Okay, that actually leads to my next question. There are estimated to be about 12 million people working legally in the United States. Can you give us an estimate of the number of migrants living and working in Western Europe, either legally or illegally, and what the relative importance of this is in regards to the EU economy?
So, as far as I know, the numbers in Europe are more or less the same, like in percentage, so it depends a little bit where you research and whom you ask, but it's like between 3 or 6 million people that are living without papers, but probably the number is much higher. So this is a little bit like 1%, 1.5% of the population in Europe, and this is really not much. But the propaganda they make, like the campaigns they make, they talk about it as it would be the most serious problem ever, like illegal migration. So if they talk about that, if they explain the measures of the police against it, or Frontex, for example, they very often mix it, link it to organized crime and terrorism. So illegal migration, organized crime, terrorism, these are the highest risk in future. So if you follow the ministers of interior and their statements, for example, the role of Frontex is to kick them out, to not let them into the country. And many people die, of course. So most of them in the Mediterranean Sea because they have very small ships, and they are heavily overloaded. Like, there is a website that is called Fortress Europe, and they have something like body count, so how many migrants died. And as far as I know, since 1988, they count 15,000 people that died on European borders. So nearly half of them died in the sea, and they disappeared. So you never know where they are.
And one last question, Matthias. Can you talk about the future of the sort of European border security? Can you talk about the Stockholm program and explain what changes that'll bring in and the effects that'll have?
Every 5 years, the European ministers of interior meet to decide the next 5 years, like the guidelines or the plans, the visions. And they did it the first time in 1999. They did it again in 2004, which was the so-called Hague program. And 2009 should be decided a new program, which will be in Stockholm, because Sweden now has the presidency, so they call it the Stockholm program. That should start in 2010. The Stockholm programs contains, well, until now they are proposals, but it contains lots of severe changes regarding migrants. So, for example, other things I mentioned that Frontex want to have in the future, like much more access to satellite data, the usage of drones, the usage of software to navigate into all the big amount of data, for example, that they gathered already. They want to have a new agency that is only for managing all the different databases. So it is very funny. So even the ministers of interior said in a report that they are really worried about the data tsunami. So this is a term they are using, so it's not our term. So, and what you can see is that what they try to do is like solve social problems. So like with the police, it's a kind of, like we call it, militarization of social politics. And I think with the Lisbon Treaty, this will be worse, of course.